Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is podcast 678, and in this podcast, I have my friend Sonny Lohman here, and I just, I love Sonny, and Sonny has just started a podcast / long-form video project on YouTube. We just did part one, and so this is part two, podcast only on the BobDavisPodcast.com, so welcome. Enter and sign in, please. No, that really shows my age right there, that old... What was that show that they said that when people said enter and sign in, please?
I don't know.
What's my line? That was the name of it. So we're going to talk to Sonny in podcast 678. So Sonny, I'm working with this new company now, which is pretty cool. Actually, if you're interested in monetizing your podcast, this is kind of a cool thing because what they do is clear payments. They are a payment processor. They've been doing this for 20 years. They've been providing integrated solutions to get payments cleared for more than two decades. I have a ReliaFund button on my website. And so if I have a client and they want to pay me, I can clear a check through ReliaFund. And they clear payments. They have apps for the phone. It's pretty cool. So here's how you you hook up with them. They have no long-term contracts. They're secure, technology-focused. 866-243-5040. That's 866-243-5040. Or you can check them out online at ReliaFund.com. And by the way, they'll clear payments. You don't have to be an online business. But if you're a developer and you write, you develop websites for people like us or for e-commerce sites, please consider ReliaFund because they're a lot cheaper than PayPal and Square and companies like that. So it's ReliaFund.com, R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D.
I feel like those other guys take all my money.
They do. You get some back, but it's, you know, you'd be, I talked to a guy who...
They give you some back.
...is doing this, you know, I think in Los Angeles or San Francisco, and I told him what they charge. I can't tell you what they charge, but on the air, but... they said, he was like, oh my God, how do I get that? I need to call them because that's amazing. So it's ReliaFund.com. Okay. So we just did part one of House of Sonny, the video. I don't know what you're calling your show, but tell us what you're doing.
House of Sonny podcast.
So you're doing a podcast, but it's also on YouTube. It's a video and a podcast, which is a good way of doing it.
I just record the podcast itself, and you're going to be featured in my podcast and my video. And this part is also on the video that we're doing right now, even though it's your podcast.
Right. So we're both on video and we're both on the podcast, which I think this is a good way to do it. It's just, I've avoided doing this because I don't want to be a guy sitting in front of a microphone doing a video podcast.
You'd have to do your makeup.
Sorry, dude, I don't
do your hair.
You know, I don't want to do that, but and because I'm kind of an audio guy, to video's a lot of work. I really respect
is a lot of work.
You know, it's,
but I've been doing videos since 2010. So for me, the video is kind of like, it's my thing.
Yeah, that's your thing. Yeah, you know, and right. you've become quite famous doing the video, doing YouTube.
A little famous. I wouldn't say quite famous. You know,
but I mean, for a person who didn't come from being on the radio or having a film career or being a newspaper writer or something, you know, you, a journalist, so to speak, you kind of made a name for yourself on video, which is pretty cool.
I just started. I'm a YouTuber.
Right.
Just like other YouTubers. You just start making videos, and that's how I created a following.
How has YouTube changed since you started doing it back in 2011? Way back in 2011.
It's just busier. But, you know, there's a lot more noise. And when I started doing it, you didn't have like all the gamers and there were a lot of people just kind of creating funny videos, and it's gotten almost, the production values are higher. It's gotten more, there are these big categories now, and then the top videos are these gamer categories, and then you have these kids video categories. There's just a lot more professional stuff on there.
Yeah. So the competition is tougher.
Yeah, I'd say so. And you can't really count on being featured or like you used to. If you were a YouTuber, you used to maybe get on the front page. You could get on the front page if you got some clicks and you got some momentum. They might put you in a featured video, but that's kind of not likely anymore, unless you're already kind of big.
So how do you grow? I guess what you do is it's doing what we're doing. It's kind of cross promotion, basically.
Yeah, I think collaborations. You can grow. You can collaborate with other YouTubers and get, just like you and I are doing with our podcast here, where you get their fans, they get your fans.
You won't get any fans from me. I'm just kidding.
You know what? The best way, I think you can probably agree with this when it comes to podcasting, the best way to get people to watch your videos is to make good videos.
Yes.
You're
a content creator. That's your gig.
It's the work. It's all about the work. And I've made good videos that nobody liked, which broke my heart. But whatever, you just make another one.
I'm amazed at sometimes the most simple things that you do that you think are crap are the ones that they love. And so, we are terrible editors of our work. We think that something is good, and it is probably good. It's just not going to be something that people like. And then
back when my videos were featured on the Daily Caller, I used to make a weekly video for the Daily Caller. And this is back when Tucker was running it. And I made this video. It was so funny. I was acting out a Republican-Democrat fight with sock puppets.
Oh, I remember that.
I thought it was hilarious. And then I had this other thing where I was like pretending to be drunk. And I was like playing a Democrat spending a lot of money and like
being a drunk.
I was really a drunk.
Yeah.
And I thought that was maybe one of my best videos that I've ever made. And I was having this conversation with Tucker, and he also thought it was really funny. And nobody liked it. Like, we put it on the Daily Caller, and it got nothing. I mean, it was like my worst performing video of all the videos. You just never know.
Yeah, and when I know, we talked a little bit about this last night. One of the things that I've noticed recently, is that. So, and I've done a couple podcasts about it. And again, these are, 30-minute long, content-rich podcasts to try to examine this issue. And one of the things I've noticed is that political content is not getting the immediate reaction that that it used to get. And I used to be on the radio, and I hate even saying I used to be on the radio, because that sounds weak, because I don't think I'd want to be on the radio today after doing this and after learning how to monetize this as poorly as I have. You don't need to. This is better than a radio station. And I think, in general, on any given day, I probably have a bigger audience than I did on the radio anyway. So that's okay. But people are starting to, they don't react to political content like they used to. And I don't like doing it. I'm actually not interested.
What makes you think that people don't want it or don't react to it?
Because I can, we have great analytics in the digital world, okay. Better analytics than radio. And
your analytics tell you when you do certain subjects.
Yep.
They're not as popular. So,
well, I'm not going to say that they're not as popular, but over in the immediate, in the short term, they do not have the traction that political stuff used to have. And I'm saying 2 years ago that it's, I have the feeling that people, I said to you that I felt that people were turning away from it. And I was speaking specifically of the people on the right. And you said that it's happening on the left, too. And you're out there in California.
Yeah, so. I think, I'm in Leftville. I'm in Leftifornia. I think that, it's not so much that I see that here as I see it online. So I don't have any. I consume a lot of commentary, political commentary, both from the left and the right. And I'm seeing the left is bleeding people. And I'm not saying they're going to the right because they don't really feel comfortable there. And then the right is losing people. It's like both parties are kind of in a weird place. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. There's really no home for the sort of moderate, I don't want to say libertarian, but, more the classical liberal type of person. There's no home for that person.
Yeah, anybody.
A lot of those people used to be on the right. A lot of those people used to be on the left, depending on kind of maybe social values. But there's no home for them. Gary Johnson didn't really make a home for them.
Well, I don't even, I don't, here, to... Yeah, I love my libertarian friends, and I love what they're doing, but I think that Gary Johnson was a poor choice, but the other option was John McAfee, which would have been.
Yeah, that was weird too, and then the other guy was just young and unprepared. Peterson, Preston, what was his name again?
It's in many ways it's a proto party. They've got to develop. You know,
yeah, they just don't have. Yeah, so.
But I guess what I'm saying is that I think if you are an advocate of less government, and I don't mean even less, I mean radically cutting back the power of the government.
If you're
a radical leftist, you're not, and I don't, people get very confused by this, but I think both the right and the left are conservatives, meaning that they're trying to maintain the status quo. I think the only people that are actually radically liberal are for liberalizing our Republican, and by that I mean the type of government that we have, our Democratic Republican government, by reducing the power of the federal and state government. And starting with the power to tax. That is a radical leftist view. And people keep perceiving themselves. My favorite thing are these Republicans that perceive themselves as conservatives.
Why do you think it's a leftist view? I mean,
it's a liberal idea. So I hate to say even left, right, up, down, you know, whatever. But, you know, less government is if you view all Democratic government as a liberalizing
influence. Let's say it's a liberal view.
Compared to
monarchy. It is a classical liberal view, yes.
Yes.
It's not a conservative view. If you're conserving now, you're conserving a mixed economy and socialism and a bureaucratic state.
Yes.
That's what you're conserving. So, yeah, I would say that's right.
Yeah.
And it's interesting times we live in. It seems like both parties are kind of doing some really weird stuff.
Well, I think
they're losing people.
Yeah, I think that they've been disrupted, and I think that they've lost touch with the American people, and they just don't know how to. The only guy that's been able to connect with people is a populist, and he's not really a populist either, because populism is really a tactic. You know, Donald Trump is not a conservative. He's not a liberal. He's just someone that says things that people believe in for whatever reason.
A Donald Trumpian.
Yeah,
he's a. That's what he.
And
Donald Trumpism is what he subscribes to.
I hate to even bring up the name, because what happens is immediately you're polarized, you know, that because of these populist techniques, which is, you know, I'm going to fix everything. Well, no, you're not.
And then on the left, Bernie is the populist. So,
yes.
And he was very popular. So you're seeing that on both sides. And I think the Democrats. So recently there have been a couple of developments on the Democrat side of things that tells me that they're going to clean house. They're cleaning house.
Yes.
And that is, Donna Brazile came out with her book.
Yes.
That was allowed. And if you don't think that she got permission for that, you're an idiot. Because absolutely she got permission for that. She's not some lone wolf heroic figure coming out to expose the left. She is part of the DNC and the left. Remember that she leaked debate questions to Hillary. She's corrupt. She's not a good guy. So she wrote her book, and so maybe what she's saying is true, but she's been allowed to expose that faction of the Democrats. And then you have SNL did a sketch where they made fun of the old Democrats. They made fun of Nancy Pelosi. They made fun of Dianne Feinstein, Chuck Schumer, And then didn't make fun of Donna Brazile and Bernie. So, in fact, those were the two people in their little sketch that were kind of the voice of reason. So SNL was allowed to make fun of Democrats.
Yeah. And by the way, when we talked about that, I brought up the fact that those shows, the only place anyone sees those shows is on YouTube. Because the viewership for those shows is tiny compared to any other offerings on any other platforms.
I don't stay up that late. That's my problem.
People just don't watch it anymore, and so they have to do stuff that's going to play well on YouTube, because that's where their audience is. Yeah. Same with you know what Jimmy Kimmel's audience is?
What?
It's a 0.43 rating.
I don't know what that means.
It's 2 million people versus somebody like DJ Khaled that has 2 million views for every single Snapchat post. People need to put it all in perspective to understand that these traditional shows that have been for 30 years, quote unquote, the big shows, are no longer the big shows. They've also been disrupted. Well, Sonny, you're in California. And, of course, the weather is always beautiful in California. And here in Minnesota, it's brown and it's getting cold. And it's a good time to remind people to make sure all of your systems are running right. So we're talking about water heater. We're talking about plumbing. We're talking about your heat. These are all important systems to make sure that they're running when it gets cold, because the deep freeze is coming. If you have problems once it gets cold, don't forget emergency service with Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927. 76488. They go back four generations in Frogtown in St. Paul, so you know that they know, but they go metro-wide, so we're talking about Burnsville or Plymouth or Hopkins or Stillwater.
So what do they do if your stuff shuts down in the middle of winter? They come and fix it?
Yes, that's the whole idea. And I'm just going to say this very quickly. If you're a journeyman plumber or a sheet metal worker, they need help and they need people. They are hiring at Ryan Plumbing and Heating, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, metro-wide from St. Paul. Also, check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. We were talking about the ratings for these shows. So when I hear about these horrible things that when people complain about SNL, and I don't really react to it, because I'm not going to say that nobody's watching, because that sounds like some crazy-eyed nut that thinks, but radio, traditional broadcast listening, radio and television, is like shockingly low. And the listenership to the most popular radio shows, whether they're talk shows or music shows, and the most popular television shows, including network news, are all after the fact. They're all podcasts or on YouTube or clips. And that's why you see these TV stations putting the chase videos up and things of that nature, because that's where people are watching them. They have really low ratings compared.
So that's interesting. I mean, so they have low ratings, but then they're consumed on the internet in various ways.
Well, they're content
YouTube or Hulu or whatever. And I wonder if they're tracking that as well. And I mean,
of course,
who knows they're really getting.
But they're content creators just like you and I. So there's an equality on YouTube with all of them. Jimmy Kimmel. But I mean, you go on YouTube and I love to watch the end of the world videos. That every week it's the end of the world next week, and they're fantastic. And they are some of them have very high production values, right?
Yeah.
Some of them are terrible, but some of them are amazing. And I've done podcasts about it. And you know, these videos have 3.5 million views. I mean, they're heavily viewed. If you're 3.5 million views is gigantic. It's and it's apples and oranges, because it's happening over longer periods of time. But it's people now, young people, you know, something like 85% of people say that they get their news from Facebook now.
I get a lot of my news from Facebook. I mean, I have really smart friends and they post really interesting articles that I follow. I mean, and I obviously it's not Facebook writing the news. They're links to the Wall Street Journal or, you know,
right.
I don't know, other places. But it's almost like it's a aggregator, or they're curating the news for me. And then I obviously go over to some other sites and stuff too. But one of my favorite YouTubers is Phil DeFranco. And he does a news show every day. And he just, it's not like really an opinion show. He kind of gives a vague opinion. He tries to do like objective reporting, where he tries to give the facts,
right,
and keep it in, be kind of even about how he tells the news. And it's not high production value. He's young. I think it's great. It's stuff like that is great. And he has he has millions of subscribers.
Yeah.
So when he puts out a video, he's easily doing what you said Jimmy Kimmel is doing. I mean, one of his videos every day is getting those types of ratings.
Right. And nobody knows who he is. And that's what I'm saying about this is that.
Yeah, he's not as famous as Jimmy Kimmel.
Right. Well, the only reason Jimmy Kimmel's famous is because he was on the platform when more people were watching, and fewer and fewer people are watching. So when we're reacting to something SNL does, or something, you know, Sean Hannity does, come on. These people are, you know, who is
what does Sean Hannity get on Fox? Like, what is Fox?
I know, I haven't looked it up. I mean, yeah. There's more viewers on cable weekly than there are on some of the broadcast channels.
Right.
But I'm talking about the aggregate totals for these other platforms, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, you know, and depending on the person, you know, Selena has 34 million people on Instagram. I mean, these are huge platforms.
I consume Saturday Night Live on YouTube.
Me too.
That's how I watch it.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. You know, so that's what's begun to happen, and I think both parties are a little confused about. I mean, I think that's one of the things.
You know, everything is up in the air. The media, entertainment, politics, the parties, everything is in some kind of massive transition right now.
Well,
it's really an interesting time to be in the world watching this. Everything is changing so quickly.
Yeah, I think the whole world is in disruption. And
you have Spain, like you have independence movements in Spain, and like I just saw Poland had this big protest, and you have the Italians just had a big EU exit protest.
Really?
Things are changing.
Yeah, things are, and I think I still, you know, I've had the theory for a long time that we're on the verge of, a disruption that will be more significant than the Industrial Revolution, and we're part of it. I mean, we're doing this. This is what this is that we're able to make media in our homes, and hopefully monetize it. But we're in the very, very early stages of this, and
we are.
I think we're in the early stages of all kinds of disruptions, and it's happening very fast. And I've often described what has, you know, if you go to the beginning of the technology revolution back in the 60s with the advent of Intel, they've built this crust of AI and the internet and, you know, personal computers and all these different things that's now kind of really starting to come into play in the world. And most of the people that are alive, unless you're 23 or 24 years old, have no concept of what it is. They just don't understand it. They don't even know about half of the stuff that's going on, and the disruption is, it's significant, and it's really
weird to me is to think how young people, how fast things are changing. Young people, it's such a cultural shift for them, like compared to us. Like, you know, I'm middle-aged. Someone who's 20. Grew up in a completely different world than I did. I mean, completely different in terms of how they're parented, in terms of everything. The technology itself has changed so drastically. And then even just since Obama was president, I was talking about comedy the other day with somebody, and I'm a comedian, so for me, this is what I think about. And I posted on my Facebook page the other day that a sketch that would never have been done today. And it's just from like 2009, you know, because Obama totally changed comedy in this country.
Yeah. How did he change comedy? That's an interesting point.
Well, I mean, and I don't say Obama, but I would say, you know, under his leadership and all of the increased attention to racism. I mean, it started with, if you made fun of Obama, you were a racist. Right? I'm not kidding. I mean, in the early couple of years of his presidency, some mainstream comics made fun of Obama, and it was bad for them. And everybody took note of that, and nobody made fun of him the entire time he was president. No Obama jokes, except for on the right. But on the right, you don't really have comedians. I mean,
yeah, they're not funny.
There's no infrastructure for right-sided comedians. If you're on the right, the right is just way too serious.
If
you're on the right and you're a comedian, you're in the closet.
Yeah.
Or you don't do politics. You don't speak about it. Because there is no infrastructure for you. You can't make a living as a comic. I mean, you can now. Like, I mean, I'm YouTube, right? There's a guy, Owen Benjamin, who's obviously a libertarian type, and he just got into trouble for saying that 3-year-olds shouldn't be considered able to make the decision that they're transitioning to another sex, and then young children should not be given these hormone blockers and stuff.
Well, they certainly shouldn't be confronted with that choice.
It seems obvious to me. I don't know. And to him. And anyway, he lost his job and his manager and his agent.
Wow.
So you can't have those opinions and be in entertainment and be part of that mainstream infrastructure. And there's just no infrastructure on the right. So there, while I'm sure there are people who, I would say that there are probably comedians on SNL who had Obama jokes, but they couldn't get them on air.
What they do on SNL is they make fun of Trump because he's the easy target. And so that's why that show is irrelevant.
It's irrelevant.
You know what it is?
It used to be a counterculture comedy show, and now it's mainstream. It's not risky. Alec Baldwin maybe does the worst Trump impression. You do a better Trump impersonation.
My Trump impersonation is fantastic. I'm great. It's great. This country is fantastic. I know Sonny done some great work. 2 weeks later, this Sonny is abominable. This is a horrible person.
Yeah, exactly.
2 weeks after that, Sonny is my best friend. We've had our disagreements. But it comes down to relevance. These shows, I think what they're doing is it's this whole thing about being relevant. So I think as a content creator, Virginia, who is it? Did Shakespeare try to be relevant, or did he write stuff because he had something to say? Were the Beatles trying to be relevant, or did they just make songs that they write songs that they like? I mean, was Dylan trying to be relevant? I don't think you can be a successful content creator by trying to be relevant to some audience.
You have to be creative, and you have to be willing to take risks. And it's the risk part that's sort of gone out of the mainstream comedy. And that's what's changed, is that you can't take risks with comedy anymore. And so it's just different. It's boring. And if you watch any of these comedians like Samantha Bee and Trevor Noah, I mean, I would say that even Jon Stewart had better comedy than what we're seeing now. Like, it's degenerated. And Jon Stewart, a lot of his comedy was just kind of sneering comedy. But even that was better than what you have today, which is just... The punchline is just, Trump is stupid.
We talked about it in part one. Larry David's show is really great because Trump never even hardly ever comes up in that show. It's not part of the milieu of the Curb Your Enthusiasm, because it's I think he probably has come to the same conclusion that regardless of how you feel, positive or negative, and I don't really care. It's not relevant anymore.
It's not.
The greater stuff is the stuff that happens in everyday life and the struggles that we have in everyday life, which in some ways are really kind of friendly, and him kind of stumbling around as a social pariah, trying to get through his life. And I talk about it all the time. And, you talk to people who are quote unquote conservatives. Oh, I hate that guy because he supported Bernie Sanders. Come on. Why is it that you have to pass a litmus test? And because there are no funny conservatives. They're not funny. Conservatives are not funny. They're way too serious.
It's not true. Come on now. I'm not talking about the comedians. There's no infrastructure.
I'm talking about the people they're not funny. They're way too serious about it. They're angry about everything all the time. Of course, so are people on the left. They're all angry too.
Yeah.
So.
It's a percentage of people on the right and on the left that are just angry, and they're not. And in fact, the real scolds that you brought up earlier on part one, you were talking about the scolds. I see more scolds coming on the left. Like, you can't use this word, you can't use that word, you have to, and that changes every week. Next week it's a different word.
You can't, you
really
never know.
No matter what you do, you're just wrong unless you are unless you're some kind of ultra protected class. You can't even just be a protected class anymore. You have to be you have to have five protected classes intersecting in one person.
Yeah, and every week it changes. So you can step on a landmine at any time, which means at this point, walk across the field because you're going to get blown up sooner or later anyway, which is fine. I'll make a t-shirt.
I don't even pay attention to...
And sell it on my website.
I don't even pay attention to if I'm inappropriate or anything like that. And I don't want to.
Good.
But I see a lot of comedians, they're forced into becoming these social justice warriors. like somebody like Amy Schumer, you know, she's given this sort of badge of feminist hero.
Mm-hmm.
And then
until it turns out, until we find out that she's aggressive sexually or something, and well, and that
but
she
her comedy
tried to...
has suffered since then because now she can't make any of the funny jokes about her boyfriends. Her Mexican boyfriend or whatever, that, you know, she can't make any funny jokes anymore.
Well, I mean, let me tell you, maybe the way to handle it is just to say, hey, I'm just going to do stand up and I'm not doing an HBO special and I'm not going to be in the movies and I'm just going to do stand up and that's it. And my stuff is available on my YouTube channel and on my podcasts. And, you know, I don't do stand up.
I think you have to go direct to the consumer. Like, and that's what the new media is.
Yeah.
I mean, YouTube and the podcasting, it's direct to consumer. You don't have any producer going, oh, whoa, we can't touch that. Although YouTube is now demonetizing all of the videos because of advertisers.
Well, you
they don't want to take risks.
But you can monetize it by doing spots in the podcasts. And,
yes.
You know, they can't do anything about that.
Your own sponsors. And,
right.
But then, you know, that's another job, as you know, going out and getting sponsors.
No, I struggle every day because it's like, you know, do I make another podcast today and have coffee? And then it's like that requires so much. And then let's make calls the rest of the day and try to convince people.
Yeah.
You know, it's just
the marketing. And so it's hard. It was nice that YouTube offered this forum where they got the advertisers for you. But now they're politically motivated. Google is Democrat. And so they are restricting, I don't want to use the word conservative, but right-sided voices.
Yeah,
a lot of people are going to Patreon to fund, including me. I just started a Patreon. And
I'm going to do that, too. I think I'm going to do that, too. And here's the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
If Google continues to do this, you know, where they're editing private documents and, you know, these, and I'm not quite sure what the motivation is. I don't think it's that they're Democrat. Certainly they have supported Democrats, but it doesn't help the Republicans are trying to regulate Google, because if this is what they're Facebook and Google are going to do, then there will be other options, you know, and people used to say this stuff about Microsoft. Microsoft is too powerful, and Intel and Microsoft are controlling the industry and blah, 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 blah. Look at Microsoft today. It's still a powerful company. It's certainly, you know, still around, and they still whatever, but they're Apple was laughed at in 1991, and now it's a $1 trillion company, and it came out of nowhere, as did Facebook, as did Google, actually.
Yeah,
so there will be options.
In fact, if you restrict Facebook and Google, you are also restricting their competition.
Yes.
With the same bureaucracy and the same regulation. So you're actually making it harder now for people to compete. Whereas if you have Google and Facebook driving away people, they are really opening themselves up to fail.
Well, this is what the mainstream media did. They ceased to be relevant, and this is why no one's watching them, because they lost that sense of relevance by being relevant and by not being by refusing to allow public opinion to push them in one direction or another. You know, one of the reasons that mainstream media cut its teeth in quote unquote, and they're not liberals, but quote unquote liberal political, you know, theology or ideology, is that they were the ones that stood up when things were being pushed too far in the other direction by Republicans and Democrats. And I'm thinking Lyndon Johnson, and in particular Vietnam. They're the ones that said, hey, this is not going well. And you weren't supposed to do that. You weren't allowed to criticize the military. You weren't allowed to criticize, you know, the powers that be or anything else. Republican or Democrat, they were the first ones. Remember that when the media started to go against Vietnam, there was a Democrat in the White House. It was Lyndon Johnson, and there was a Democrat majority in Congress. So that was them being relevant, and they never got out of that. They stayed in that rut because it worked for them, and given all of the disruptions in media since then, they have never gotten out of that rut, and that's one of the reasons that they're no longer relevant. By the same token, AM talk radio has become completely irrelevant, because all they do is bang. It's everybody's Sean Hannity. It's terrible.
Oh my God.
It's unlistenable.
It is. It's all just barking, bitching, negativity.
Negativity, my brother.
And, but yeah, I think if you just let the free market work, I mean, as fast as things are moving, which is something we were just talking about, there could be no Facebook in 5 years. I mean, that seems crazy today, But it's possible. Look at, remember when MySpace like the place?
Yeah. Well, if Facebook
literally went out of business, I mean, they became nothing within a couple of years of Facebook.
Don't even get me started about Facebook, because there was an issue with, I had an issue this week with a post that somehow got boosted, which I didn't boost. And you're dealing with algorithms, so you're not I basically, in order to get this situation resolved, I changed my credit card to an expired card, and I just sent them a message that says, you'll get paid when this gets resolved. You're not going to get paid until it gets resolved. And when they go to bill me, they're going to try to bill an expired card, and then I'm going to get a note that says, hey, and I'm going to say, yeah, what's the story with this? And it's, if they continue to do that, if they go into Comcast territory in terms of customer service,
right,
somebody comes along that does it better, people don't realize that these tech giants are actually very vulnerable to mistakes.
Everything that they count on is nebulous and could collapse tomorrow. They don't own anything.
Well, thanks for joining me for part two of the House of Sunny. I don't know what you call your video channel, or whatever it is.
my YouTube channel is House of Sunny. Okay. My podcast is the House of Sunny podcast.
Oh, well, that makes it easy. And this is part two, which is also available at thebobdavispodcast.com and on your video channel. So thank you. Maybe we should learn a skill. Maybe we should be plumbers, because then we could work part-time for Ryan Plumbing and Heating. So if you're a plumber, they need help. Journeyman Plumbers, call them. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Online at ryanplumbing.com. They are hiring. And don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business emergency service. When things go bad this winter, and you know they will, don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. And, we didn't talk too much about politics. We talked about it ethereally. We talked about it in theory and sort of around the edges of it. But one of the things that is going to be happening is that this new tax package probably will have elements that will penalize companies for making things overseas. This is the whole thing about trade protection. There's a whole big theory about whether this is a good idea or not. I personally don't think it is, but it's going to be a reality. And if this is you, if you need to reshore some of your production, don't forget Depot Star, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing, right here in Minnesota. Visit their website at depotstar.com. What?
America first.
America first. DepotStar.com. DepotStar. DepotStar.com. Buy local. And of course, thank you for listening to the Bob Davis podcasts and for this podcast part two at House of Sunny on YouTube, and also the House of Sunny podcast, and right here at the Bob Davis podcasts. We're available at Stitcher.com, iTunes, of course, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, PodSearch, Spreaker, and anywhere I can get the podcast. Appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter. And thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. Just click on the picture of Mobile Podcast Command, which has been in your driveway, by the way.
That's right.
In Napa Valley.
All my neighbors.
Because it's an ambulance. But you click on that, you can make a donation, and I appreciate those. We're trying to figure out winter operations. I think I'm going to do a winter storm chasing thing. So we'll talk about that once I get
everything squared. Well, there's no storms here. You'll have to do a winter sun chasing.
Ooh, that would be great. Thanks for listening to podcast 678.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing.
Go ahead.
I want to get into it, man,
Go ahead.
Like a sex machine, man.
Yeah.
Moving, doing it,
Yeah.
Can I count it off?
Go ahead.
One, two, three, four. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene. Machine.
Get on up.
Wait a minute. Shake your arm. Then use your palm. Stay on the scene. I like a sex machine. You got to have the feeling. Sure as your bone. Get it together. Right on, right on. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
up, get on up. Get up, get on up.
Get up,
get on up. Get up, get on up. You said you got, you said the feeling, you got to get.